Happy Europe Day, everyone. Welcome to the Foreign Policy Talks Europe Day special episode. For this interview, we'll bring to you the candid and exclusive conversation with the ambassadors of the European Union member countries. So good morning, good afternoon, good evening, the listeners of Foreign Policy Talks podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in from wherever you are. And today I'm very delighted to welcome Ambassador Olivier Chambard, the Ambassador of France to Indonesia. Let me greet him before I give him a lot of important questions that we're going to have today. So Ambassador, how are you doing?
Baik, makasih.
Baik, sama-sama, Ambassador. And happy Europe Day, Ambassador. And then
thank you very much.
Right. I hope you are doing well again in the midst of this pandemic. But one opening question to you, Ambassador. How does France define the celebration of Europe Day and how to relate its relevance to the current global circumstances, Ambassador?
Well, Europe is a fundamental part in our lives as European and as French in particular, because we were among the founding nations of Europe. So it is touching all aspects of our life, of course, economic, but also social, education, environment, freedom of circulation. So it's something which is present in our everyday life. But at the same time, and because it's so present, sometimes people tend to forget the importance of Europe. That's why it's good to remind ourselves at least once a year that Europe is a fundamental part of our lives. And one thing that people tend to forget also is that thanks to Europe, we avoided war in this part of the world since 1945. It seems evident today, but in fact, the role played by Europe of putting nations together, first economically and then more broadly in Europe, is a key element in the fact that we had peace for such a long time. And today, as we see the war in Ukraine after the aggression of Russia, maybe it tends to remind people that peace is something which is not, should not take it for granted, because it could be fragile and it needs a lot of attention. And Europe is a way of doing that. Of course, Europe is not perfect, but although we can criticize Europe for some aspects, and it's part of the political life, we have always to remember what it brings to us, and it brings many things, including peace. So Europe Day is very important in that regard.
Wow, it's very impressive. It reminds us, I'd like to repeat your statement earlier. So it reminds us how important is peace, right, to the global circumstances today. And Europe Day is reminding us for that. But Ambassador, many members of the club is actually asking me to ask this to you. So France and Indonesia have a similarity in terms of diversity and multiculturalism of a society. What can you share about France's strategy in maintaining peace and also unity among its society?
Well, you're right in saying that France and Indonesia share a lot of things in terms of values and the way we are approaching multiculturalism, tolerance. So that's a very important part of our relation. Although France and Indonesia, in terms of historic relations, we are not that close in history, but we are looking at the world not exactly in the same way. It would be simplistic to say that, but we have on certain things a common view. I was thinking about democracy. Indonesia is one of the biggest democracy in the world, and I was in Indonesia in 98 as Wakil Dubes. So I lived the political transition from Orde Baru to democracy. So I know very well what it means for the Indonesian people, and not only for the Indonesian people, but for all the countries, all the democracies who were very happy to welcome a new member in 98 and a very strong member, which has many lessons to give to the world in terms of tolerance, and in particular in religious tolerance, which is something which is quite important in the world. So I think it's by sharing the same values that France and Indonesia, among other countries, can work towards peace. And I think you know, Indonesia was a champion of non-alignment in the past, the Bandung spirit. I think now non-alignment is not the same thing as it was before, but the heritage of non-alignment is multilateralism. And we can say that France and Indonesia are champions of multilateralism. That's very important because today multilateralism is sometimes criticized by authoritarian regime who want to change the world based on other values than democracy and multilateralism. So that's very important that important countries like France and Indonesia could work together to maintain stability and peace, not only in the region, but in the world.
Yeah, wow. Ambassador, of course, we as a foreign policy enthusiasts and observers have seen that France, as a prominent member of the EU, has advanced its vision, right? Especially under President Macron's leadership to revitalize the European Union, to be more solid, to be more, how to say, in one position to face internal challenges and also external challenges. I'm curious to explore your vision on how does exactly France envision a stronger Europe? That I think we've heard this many times from President Macron.
Well, in fact, the French presidency, because you know we are presiding until end of June the European Union. The French presidency of the European Union has been faced since February the 24th, with the outbreak of an intense and deadly conflict on the European continent due to Russia's attack on Ukraine.
Yeah.
So this context highlights the urgency of the need for the European Union to increase its strength in order to protect its citizens and defend its values and interests in its close and distant neighborhood. It also confirms the relevance of the central theme chosen by France as president of the Council of the European Union, which is strengthening European sovereignty in all eras. So in its role holding the presidency, France took action on two fronts. The first front is, of course, the war next to the frontiers of European Union. And alongside two other institutions, the European Commission and the European Parliament, the French presidency worked to provide a rapid, united, and strong response to Russia's aggression. And as a result, the European Union adopted an unprecedented series of sanctions against Russia, with many measures targeting Russian officials. European Union took emergency measures to support Ukraine and its people, military support, protection of refugees and welcoming refugees, financial assistance, humanitarian assistance, and many, many kind of support to Ukraine, Ukrainian people and the country of Ukraine. European Union undertook urgent work at the summit of Versailles in March to accelerate reducing European dependencies, in particular in the field of energy. And these dependencies are significant for certain member states, because the situation is different if you take France, Germany, and constitute a permanent vulnerability for the entire European Union. And in May, the Commission will make concrete proposals to reduce its energy dependency by 2/3 to the end of the year, which will enable us to put more pressure on Russia. And we undertook also efforts to increase investments in defense, to generalize the major decisions made in this respect in several member states, and to reinforce Europe's capacities and industrial base. I must say that one of the criticisms made on Europe, even by Europeans themselves, is that Europe could be seen sometimes as a big body, which could be complicated and slow to react. This crisis gave us the opportunity to unite in a very quick and strong manner, and to show that in times of big danger, the Europeans are able, thanks to their common values, to react quickly against what is an aggression not only on Ukraine, but on democracy, on the freedom of countries to exist, and on the values enshrined in the Charter of the European Nations, which are essential to maintain a peaceful coexistence and stability in the world. But apart from the Ukraine crisis, which had and has a significant impact on the French presidency agenda, the French presidency has nonetheless succeeded in staying on course and continuing the work on the priorities initially set, which aim to strengthen the Union's cohesion and ability to act. Major progresses have been made in three areas, and in particular, first, the several major legislative instruments were adopted that aim to ensure that the EU's interests in the field of trade, climate, digital technology are better respected. We have in trade created an instrument promoting reciprocity and access to international public procurement markets. Concerning ecological transition, a general approach was agreed upon for the carbon border adjustment mechanism mid-March, last March, in granting fair rules for all businesses conducting trade on the internal market. This mechanism incentivizes non-EU states to pursue more ambitious climate policies and ensure that we will not lose factories and jobs to high-end emitting countries. It's very important, because in fighting against climate change, we must ensure that we all have the same rules, because if not, the competition is not fair. I can also mention the digital affairs. I know it's also something which Indonesia is very active on, as a country where internet is one of the most popular thing. we agreed upon a Digital Markets Act end of March, and it is the first regulatory framework in the world for digital markets, and it will help to put an end to unfair practices by digital companies that are beginning to impose their own rules over democratically elected states. And there are other legislations which will be put in action, and France will continue to push for that. I must mention the rule of law, because the French presidency considered it as a priority, and we wanted to strengthen the tools to protect the rule of law, and about the funding of the European political parties, preventing other countries to fund European political parties, which is quite important if you want to protect your own autonomy. Mm. Regarding gender equality, we had a new draft for a new directive to ensure increased participation from women on company boards. So, well, the list is endless, and I don't want I could talk for hours on that, but the main thing is that France wanted to pursue its willingness to reform Europe in a very progressive and positive way. Europe is a big body with 27 member states, which are sharing values but are not always on the same line. It's natural. So this institution, this association of nations, need to be permanently on the lookout for being more efficient, reforming itself. Yeah. No revolution, but reforms. Wow. That's very important. Indonesia knows a great deal about international association, because you're a member and a very influential member of the ASEAN. Yep. And it's the same. Those institutions, if you don't work on it constantly, then it became blocked in a way. So that was the willingness of the French presidency. And of course, the Ukraine crisis made things much more difficult, but at the same time was, because every cloud has a silver lining, showed us that European Union is a very relevant body, not only on economic, but also on security, diplomacy, and defense.
Wow, impressive. Thank you so much for sharing that, Ambassador. I'm sure the listeners will understand more about France's vision, about the EU. And then I think the issues are pretty much aligned also with President Jokowi's vision of the future growth, like Ambassador, like the digitalization you mentioned earlier, energy transition, and also the health recovery. And I think those things that we can improve together, and it serves for cooperation between Indonesia and France. I will touch on that later on, Ambassador, when you talk about France-Indonesian partnerships. But this is an interesting question for you. France has just passed around another round of presidential election a moment ago. That's yesterday, actually, right? So what's your reflection on this election to not only to France, but to the world's democracy, and even to the stability or even the future of Europe, Ambassador?
Well, I think this election has shown the willingness of the French people to clearly reaffirm their commitment in progress and in Europe. Mm. The French voters rejected the populism and extremist positions. That's very important. As I mentioned at the beginning, France was a founding member of the European Union with six countries at the beginning. And with President Macron, the choice is clear. It's a choice of international cooperation, autonomic strategy, and the reinforcement of the European capacities in the economic sector, the social sector, the security sector. And it's very important because, once again, as I mentioned, Europe is part of our everyday life. And if for one bad reason or another, Europe stop, then it's our lives, which would be very, very difficult. Because Europe is based on democracy and on a certain vision of progress. And as I said, you can criticize Europe, it's part of the game, but one should not forget all the importance of this institution for the local man in France, in Belgium, in Italy, in Spain, everywhere in the European Union.
Right. So, Ambassador, we also see, in the context of Indonesia and France partnership, we see that there is an intensified communication and also engagement between the high-level leaderships of both states, especially in the defense and security aspect, right? And recently, they met and signed a set of defense and security agreements. How do you reflect the stronger defense partnership in the middle of a growing geopolitical shock and also constellation?
Well, you're right. The relationship between Indonesia and France is entering a new phase.
Yep.
We had always very good relations, but there was a feeling shared in Jakarta and in Paris that our relation, although very good, was not reaching the level of what it could be. So there was a clear willingness on both sides to do more. And of course, the COVID crisis didn't help because it was slowing down the visits. But nevertheless, we managed to have four important visits during the pandemic, the visit of the trade minister, the visit of the sea minister, and more importantly, the visit of our foreign minister at the end of last year, and the visit of our defense minister in February. So those visits were very important to work on what our strategic partnership should be. And indeed, it's a strategic partnership. You know that France launched an Indo-Pacific strategy in 2018 in order to focus more on this region of the world. And of course, Southeast Asia is a key element in our Indo-Pacific strategy. And Indonesia is one of the two or three priorities, more important countries that we want to work with on this Indo-Pacific strategy, which is not a strategy against someone, but a strategy of cooperation. So I think that gave an excellent context to the development of our bilateral strategy. In particular in the defense sector. when you open the press, you see many articles about the Rafale or submarines or other things. I think your viewers should understand that those kind of contracts are not only commercial. Of course, commerce is important. It's a very good thing. But for France to propose such sophisticated military equipment as the Rafale fighter jet, as the Scorpion submarine, military satellites, and many other things, it's the willingness to work really together on a strategic partnership. A partnership which is also based on transfer of technology and local production, yep. In particular for the submarines, if this contract is signed, as I'm sure it will be, the submarines will be built in Indonesia, in Surabaya. So it's a transfer of technology which will really help Indonesia to reinforce its strategic autonomy. France has a very special position in the world by being able to have a strategic autonomy, because we rely on our own military equipment built in France. And when you buy a French Rafale, for example, or boat or submarine, you are not you cannot be subject to rules made by many other countries which can block at one time or another your contract. And Indonesia was a victim of that. More than 20 years ago, with an embargo on spare parts, because what we sell, we produce ourselves. Our industrial capacities are very strong, and we are producing everything. So when we work with a country like Indonesia, and we are not having those kind of contracts with every country or all country that want to have it, it's because we see Indonesia as a strategic partner that we are proposing those materials. The idea is really to have those equipments contribute to a very strong relation and a strategic relation. And now the region is subject to tensions, economic tensions, of course, but also more strategic and defense and security related tensions. And I think in this context, it's very important for our two countries to work together, because I want to remind your viewers that France is also a country of the Indo-Pacific, in the Indian Ocean. In the Pacific, we have territories and more than 1 million people who are living there. So for us, it's not just something which is far away and economically interesting. It's also our own backyard, because we have French there, we have economic interest, we have defense interest, and we want this part of the world to be stable, and a part of the world where freedom of navigation is respected and the rule of law is also respected. I think that's very important, and that's why we want to work closely with Indonesia.
Right, so we can say that that this defense partnership is actually a manifestation of a growing mutual trust between France and Indonesia to ensure peace and stability in Indo-Pacific, and also, as you said, to maintain a strategic autonomy, which is very important for President Joko's moving geopolitical crisis today, Ambassador, which is the Ukraine and Russia war or crisis. As a leader of Europe, I believe France is one of the most prominent actors to lead a faster and fairer conflict resolution in this Ukraine-Russian conflict, either bilaterally or multilaterally. How would France push this conflict into an end, Ambassador?
Well, during one of my the first question or the, no, the third question, I mentioned what France did as president of the European Union. So that's for the multilateral aspect, and also, of course, all our action in the United Nations to support a resolution condemning strongly the Russian attack. We are very much involved in the Ukraine crisis. And first, by helping Ukraine, we launch a 100 million package to help to meet the most urgent humanitarian needs of Ukraine. France is sending equipments, humanitarian assistance directly to Ukraine. An airlift was organized as soon as the conflict started. This airlift provided roughly 100 tons of equipment to Ukraine. Of course, the human aspect of this conflict is absolutely horrendous. And we are putting money on the table to help Ukrainians, either those who are staying in Ukraine, but also Ukrainians, millions of them who left their country because they were living in regions which were submitted to a very brutal invasion and bombings by the Russian forces, who, by the way, are claiming that they are only bombing military installation, which is not true. And I think all the journalists, the images we are, and of course the intelligence we are gathering on the situation shows that it's a war of terror that Russia is making in Ukraine. So those people, those Ukrainians, some of them went to France, but the majority were stationed in neighboring countries like Poland. So there's a quite an active movement of solidarity among Europe, among the European Union, to help the countries which are hosting the refugees. So it's very important. You know that now we are observing and suspecting war crimes in Ukraine. So war crimes are, it's of course a very serious matter, but it's also something which you have to investigate very intensely. And so we are also providing, together with other European countries, teams of forensic analysts, people who are dealt with this kind of crimes, to help the Ukrainian authorities to document those war crimes because it will not be forgotten what's happening in Ukraine, this act of violence, war crimes, graves with tens of people. So it's important to have a very scientific approach also to help Ukraine and to help also all the nations who are committed to human rights and to a stable and peaceful world to condemn and pursue those who are responsible for that. So many things are being done by France. You said about the ending of the conflict. Of course, it's a very, very difficult thing because there's no rationality of this attack by a huge country. Russia is a very big country, a powerful country in a way, to attack a relatively small country like Ukraine, which was not threatening Russia at all. The very idea of saying that Ukraine was a threat to Russia, just look at the map and the figures. It's not possible to think that. It's just propaganda. So we, of course, tried a lot. And we maintain open the line of dialogue with Russia. And President Macron is talking regularly with President Putin. So far, it has brought little help on very limited things, but we think that it's important to maintain this link, and it might help when Russia realizes that this country is losing its soul in Ukraine. It's also losing economically and financially. The situation of Russia is very much affected by this war. And also but it will take time, of course, the morale of the Russian people, who I don't think they were in favor of that war, where many of their kids are dying today. Of course, the information of the Russian people is not free in Russia, so it's not easy for them to know really what's happening. But clearly, you have, depending on the figures, but at least more than 10,000 Russian soldiers who have been killed during this war because of the courageous resistance by this small country, by the Ukrainian people, who were not welcoming Russian as liberators, like the Russians are saying, but which were fighting for their country, for their values. And that's close, that's true that Russian and Ukrainian are close culturally. Some Ukrainians speak Russian, but even if they speak Russian, doesn't mean that they want to be ruled by Russia. They are much more interested by democratic values and not by an authoritarian regime. So the situation is very difficult, is depending also on the military situation. Russia is changing its strategy because it failed to invade completely Ukraine as it apparently wanted to do at the beginning, but could not succeed in doing so. So might take time for Russia to realize what his best interest is. It's a pity because people will be killed, civilians, not only military people, civilians, kids, old people, mothers. And of course, we are not at war with Russia and not the Russian people. The Russian people and Russia is a very important part of the greater Europe. Mm. And we feel it's important in the future to re-establish relations, but not with a regime which is killing people. But, you know, I'm a diplomat. In diplomacy, you have to talk with people. There's no point of shutting the mic and not talking. But situation is very difficult for the moment, and it might be so for some time, but we are all working in that direction. And I think it's important that the maximum of countries are showing to Russia that they really are completely against Russian policy, Russian actions in Ukraine. We have to put pressure on Russia, because if we do not put pressure, then what's next? Other countries, Poland, the Baltic states. So it's very important to put a limit to that, and to try to help Ukraine to recover a normal life, but it might take time, unfortunately.
Right. As we know, Ambassador, this war has put spillover impacts to many parts of the world, including the state of the G20 success, which is under Indonesia's chairmanship this year. So I'm curious to know what's your stand on that, the concerns of excluding Russia from G20, and what is actually the expectation of France towards G20 Indonesia this year? Should we also shut the mic, as you said, of Russia in this forum?
Well, first, our two countries are in close contact on that subject. And Ibu Menlu, Ibu Retno Marsudi, was in Paris last week and talked with Minister Le Drian, and they talked a lot about Ukraine, about the consequences of the war, on the world economy, and on G20. France is really willing to be on the side of Indonesia, and is on the side of Indonesia in the G20. So we have to find a way of not having business as usual, because it's not business as usual. Mm. And it will be less and less business as usual with war crimes, which will undoubtedly be proved in the next future. But after all, G20 is an economic institution. Mm. And Ukraine war is causing grave problems to the world economy. So the Russian invasion, the Ukraine crisis should be talked about in the G20. We have to find ways. I'm sure Indonesia, with the help of its partners in the G20, will find a way of preserving G20, which is a very important institution. France is very keen not to harm G20, but who is harming G20 today? It's Russia, clearly. Mm. So we have to take stock of Russian actions, and not having, and especially about the heads of state, a normal encounter. So solutions are being discussed, initiatives. It's a bit early to talk concretely about that, because it's still being thought about. But I hope that things will be, G20 meetings will be possible. As I said, preserving G20, but not letting Russia doing aggression against another country. So I'm sure we'll find ways, and France is really with Indonesia and working with Indonesia to find those ways. And I'm sure the inventiveness of the Indonesian diplomats together with the other partners will play a big role, and that we will find a solution. We have to find a solution.
Right. Happy to hear that, Ambassador. I mean, the G20 itself has a lot of problems, right? Even without Ukraine and Russia war, it's been criticized of being much promises, less deliver, right? So, and this time with the war, of course, we have another challenge that we should solve it together, and happy that France is on the side of Indonesia to find the solutions for this. But this is going to be my last question, Ambassador. And we have touched a lot of heavy and important topics, but let me invite you to talk about something that can lower the weather of this conversation. I know you've been here in Indonesia for a few years. If you don't mind to share the listeners, if you have any interesting stories about places or food that you have tried or visited in Indonesia so far while you're posted here.
Well, you know, I was posted here from 97 till 2000. So it's a very particular moment, important moment in Indonesia's history, recent history. Yeah. And I wanted to come back to Indonesia because together with my family, my wife and kids, we enjoyed this country. I enjoyed it professionally, of course, but I enjoyed it personally. People are sometimes asking me, oh, so you've been there a long time ago, so what's new?
Yeah, yeah.
Many things have changed, of course, but in a way, I find myself at ease here because people are still the same, and that it's people who are making a country, not the fact that you have more skyscrapers in Jakarta. It's important, and the economic development of Indonesia was tremendous and fantastic. When I left Indonesia, the economic situation was very, very problematic with Chris Mon. It was very difficult. Yeah. So it was fantastic to see this country thriving again and being very resilient. When you look at the pandemic, Indonesia went out of this crisis, which is almost, inshallah, which is almost finished, on a very resilient way, and that's very good. But my love for Indonesia is the love for the people, because I think Indonesian people are the most interesting people in the region, and maybe even in all Asia. And of course, they are very diverse. The Javanese will not be the same as Sasak or a guy from Medan or from Kalimantan or Maluk, whatever. So this multiculturalism, but one thing which is common to Indonesia is they are very welcoming people, and it's very easy to talk with them, to make jokes with them, which is very good, because without jokes, what kind of life we would have? It's very important. And you mentioned the cooking. Of course, Indonesia has a very large scope of different cuisine. And even after now nearly 6 years in Indonesia, there are many specialties, local specialties that I don't know. And I love almost all what I've eaten here. And sometimes I was asked this question many times, and I always answer that one of my favorites is the sop buntut.
Sop buntut.
But maybe it's because I'm a bit also chauvinistic, because sop buntut is a dish which is quite close to a French dish, which is called pot-au-feu. The difference is that in the French dish, you put many parts of the beef or the sapi, not only the tail. But I can mention rendang, of course, mi goreng, nasi goreng, bakso, and everything. No, it's maybe one criticism is that your cuisine is not well known enough outside of the region, and you should do more to export that. You know that for France, the French cuisine is soft power. It's important, and I think for Indonesia also it should be a soft power. I know that my Indonesian colleagues, diplomats, are doing their best, but you have to have your cuisine well known in all over the world, because it deserves it.
All right. I'm sure the listeners who are now active in the culinary industry would like to push that further, right, Ambassador?
Yes, absolutely.
In the European region. Thank you so much, Ambassador, for your thoughts, and sama-sama, and then hope the listeners understand more about France and Indonesia, and especially with France's prominent role in Europe, we understand about how the Europe is going to move forward in the coming years. Thank you so much, Ambassador, and please stay safe.
Sampai jumpa lagi.
Sampai jumpa. Thank you, everyone, for listening all the way to the end. Follow Foreign Policy Talks on Instagram at Foreign Policy Talks to keep updated. Feel free to comment your thoughts on this Europe Day special episode on our Instagram. And don't forget to check the quiz that we are going to have, especially for the celebration of peace and unity in this Europe Day. Thank you, and stay tuned for the next episodes.